sex. I mean, it's not just, it might not be just such a simple, you know?
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man. New shit has come to light.
Welcome to Cinemaholics. I'm John Agroni, your usual host of the main show, and we have another bonus review. I mean, we've kind of talked about it in our Chaos Walking review on Thursday, but so many films are out this week, and so we're doing our best to cover everything in a timely manner, which is why I'm here with two people to talk about the new film, Boogie. With me, we, of course, have Will Ashton. Hello, Will.
Hi, John.
And special guest, Corey Woodruff. Hi, Corey.
Howdy.
Corey, for people who, you know, I'm sure our listeners know who you are at this point. You've been on Cinemaholics many times. Refresh their memories. Who are you and what do you do right now?
I am a freight truck driver from Des Moines. And
people are
going to
believe that, Corey.
I just started watching movies about a week ago, and I enjoy them. Gosh. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Star Wars, but it is quite enjoyable. I'm quite a fan.
Okay, well, sarcasm is that, because people will believe that, because, you know, Corey, you have such a salt-of-the-earth persona.
I do. I am the voice of the people. But no, I'm a film critic in Tennessee. I mainly write movie reviews for the Nashville Scene, which is a sister publication of where I work. But you can also find me every now and again at the Playlist and at other various haunts. And I also host a new podcast called Generation VHS with Charlie Ridgely, a comic book, where we go back and try to figure out if all the movies we grew up with are good or not, which is a very difficult thing to try to do when nostalgia plays a role. So I obviously have always so happy to be here. This is always such one of my favorite places to come do audio anything.
Happy to have you, Corey, as always. And yeah, we just told our listeners last week about Generation VHS. We've been enjoying the show ourselves. Well, I'm speaking for Will a little bit. I don't even know if Will's ever even heard. I'm just kidding. I know Will's listening to the show. I've listened to your Small Soldiers episode so far, and I'm going to listen to the Good Burger one, but I'm a little nervous. I'm worried you're going to talk about Good Burger in a way that is unacceptable to me.
Oh, I love Good Burger. Good Burger's, like, amazing.
Okay, well.
Charlie's a little more negative, but that shouldn't surprise anyone.
I'm going to be in between you two probably, but yeah, that's a nostalgia bait for me. But anyway, we're here to talk about Boogie, which is the first film written and directed by Eddie Huang. Eddie Huang, if you don't know, is the author of the memoir Fresh Off the Boat. Now, Fresh Off the Boat, you probably heard of that, right? That's the ABC sitcom. Well, the ABC sitcom, I guess a lot of people probably know this. I guess it's public knowledge, but Fresh Off the Boat, the sitcom, is based off of Eddie Huang's life. Now, there's this whole drama around how the show kind of moved in a different direction from the memoir, and Eddie Huang kind of wrote off the show. You know, he found the pilot to be mostly faithful, but then after the pilot, the way they took that show, he was kind of like, well, you know what, it stopped really being about my life. He's since been a little bit softer on the show. Like, he's not like super against it or anything like that, but at the same time, he's definitely somebody, like, if you've read his memoir, if you've looked into his life and his backstory, he has a very fascinating life. He is currently a chef. He owns a restaurant in New York City. He is very, very successful. And he's been wanting to make a movie for apparently quite a while. He's been working on this film, Boogie, which is based on a screenplay, an idea he's had, which is kind of semi-autobiographical, but also it has a lot of different flourishes with it, a lot of changes made to the dynamic between him and his real-life parents. The film itself is kind of a... It's almost like a like what if sort of thing for his own life. He didn't grow up in New York, for example, but this film takes place in New York, which is where he's lived for quite a while at this point. This movie is coming to us from Focus Features. It is going to be hitting theaters by the time you listen to this. I think like right now, actually, now that I think about it, I think it's I'm thinking today's Thursday, but it's actually Friday. So yeah, it is out in theaters right now. And it's definitely an interesting film. It stars mostly unknown actors in the main roles, although there are a few familiar faces like Taylor Page plays a character named Eleanor. We also have Mike Moe. We have David Brewster Jr., Bashar Jackson, a.k.a. Pop Smoke, in his film debut. Unfortunately, it's a posthumous debut because he tragically was killed last year, but he is in this film. And the main lead is Taylor Takahashi, who is a friend of Eddie Huang. Eddie Huang has a cameo in the film, by the way, as his uncle. And he is the main character, Alfred Boogie Chin. Corey, why don't you walk us through the setup for Boogie? What is this film about? And then you can get into what you thought of the film.
Yeah, well, the film is a really interesting kind of cross-section between kind of the Asian-American experience in terms of kind of getting acclimated to this American dream in which so many people, you know, come to the United States to try and pursue, while also kind of undercutting the prep basketball scene and kind of the really, sometimes really difficult world of recruiting and how a lot of these really talented high school players have to kind of go through the ropes to try to find the right program for them. It's just such an interesting story. We have kind of the main character, Alfred Boogie Chin. He goes by Boogie. He is a hot prospect in New York, on the New York prep scene. He's somebody that has not gotten any D1 offers yet, but is clearly someone who is bound to play basketball at some sort of post high school level. He's kind of flanked with his parents. His father is a big sports person who wants his son to go play in the NBA one day and be one of the next great Asian American players to, you know, thrive in a professional sport. And then you have his mom, who's a bit more, I think, practically minded, and finds for him a recruiting agent who is able to perhaps parlay him an opportunity to play in China, and for a pretty lofty salary. So you kind of see Boogie caught between two worlds of trying to achieve his childhood dream that he and his father have worked for, but also with his mom going maybe a more practical route to play in China and kind of cement that he would be able to find some success after high school. He's got a little bit of a hothead, so he's not really getting some of those D1 offers he might have gotten in general, but you kind of see this parallel storyline running between his parents and their relationship. It reminded me a little bit of Tiger Tail, Alan Yang's film from last year, and kind of dissecting how a marriage like works together in terms of, you know, dealing with the cultural differences that come from, you know, being, you know, Asian American in the American experience. But then there's also like a bit of a rivalry that Boogie has between Pop Smoke's character, Monk, who's kind of the biggest person in their circle in terms of the recruiting world that he wants to be able to beat on the basketball court in order to get some more offers. And then you've also got a romantic plot line between Boogie and a girl named Eleanor, who's played by Taylor Page, who was in Maz Rainey's Black Bottom, who will be in the upcoming film Zola, which apparently did quite well at last year's Sundance. So it's very much a Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about that. I'm really excited for that one. But it's a coming-of-age film. It's a sports film. It's kind of a dissection of culture from a really helpful perspective, I think, that I don't think sports movies often have. This is, as far as I can recall, one of the very first like Asian American-centric basketball films. Usually, you know, those films have kind of been had with the Hoosiers formula for so long. But there's a lot of different things working as Boogie tries to figure out where his life's going to go and how much of control he has over that.
Yeah, one of the reasons we wanted to have you on, Corey, was because when it comes to sports, you are definitely more experienced. You're definitely like you have professional experience with like sports broadcasting and sports journalism, things like that. Whereas like, you know, Will and I probably not as much. I did a little bit of sports journalism like years and years ago, but it was radio based and I definitely was in over my head. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm a very long-suffering sports person. I do sports with my day job mainly, and I'm actually a preps reporter. So I really, really connected with the storyline here in that particular world, and I actually thought Hwang did a really nice job of dissecting that world and some of the weirder intricacies that, you know, I feel like might be taken for granted elsewhere of what he accomplished with that, but just being around that world so much, I really thought he did a nice job with that.
No, I think we're going to have some disagreements in this because I definitely don't have quite as strong as a reaction to it. But we'll go to you, Will Ashton. You know, I know we've talked about basketball films here and there. I think like High Flying Bird we were both fans of, which gets into basketball recruitment and all of that. Also a New York film. But what did you think of Boogie? Did you find yourself, was it nothing but net? There we go.
I wasn't sure. Are you going to make a Boogie joke, like a joke about dancing, or were you going to make a basketball joke? I wasn't quite sure.
I was trying to decide between. I wasn't sure. I was like, wait, which one is going to make Will smile? I don't know.
I think you should have gone with dancing, but, you know, I can't tell you what to do. For me, I definitely, I can see why Corey had such a strong reaction to it, mainly because I think, like you were saying, Corey, that sense of perspective, that individuality, that sense of culture that is infused into the film, that's where it really stands out. And there's like this framing device I find very interesting, that mostly it kind of bookends the film at the beginning and end of it, that I find very interesting. And that's where I'm like, okay, Eddie Huang has some like very interesting visual perspectives here that I think, you know, coming in as a freshman filmmaker, that's exciting to see. That's very interesting. But I think when it comes to the presentation of the story, or at least the coming of age aspects of it, I think it starts to fumble, because while it tries to follow a somewhat traditional story frame, it kind of does it in a haphazard way. You know, like there's a lot of like the traditional kind of story beats and emotional beats that are infused into the film, but they don't really get a lot of time to breathe into the story. Like everything feels so very busy throughout the film. It never really gets itself a moment to breathe, even when it has like kind of quieter moments, like with the central relationship. It doesn't really feel like it's organic to the story. It just kind of feels like, okay, we got to do this. Now we got to go to this next moment. Now we got to go to this moment. And for me, that was frustrating and disappointing, because it felt like when it does actually have a little bit of a individual perspective, or when it is kind of settling into its own identity, I think that's where it really comes alive, and that's where I find myself most invested in the film. But when it's trying to like kind of like keep up with itself, or like try to do all these different things at the same time, I think that's where it gets overworked and overloaded, and that's where it starts to fall apart for me. So I guess I'm kind of mixed on the film. Like I think there's a lot to value here. I think it is better than some other sports films we've gotten recently, but at the same time, what doesn't work becomes more frustrating, because that makes it a lesser film overall.
So I wrote about the film. My review for it isn't live quite yet. I'm not sure when it's going to be live, but it'll be on the Young Folks. And I got into this a little bit as well. I think my main thing with this movie is I think Eddie Huang, raw talent for days. And I think that he has probably one of his best talents is his eye for casting. I think that casting Taylor Takahashi was a great move. Clearly this guy had like the presence for this kind of role. But my issue is I just think that he is a much stronger screenwriter than he is a director. And I think that you just fall into a really difficult trap of your first time as director. Clearly, this is something that I don't think Huang had a lot of experience with. I don't think that he had a lot of, I just don't think that he really brought it for this, unfortunately, with directing a first-time actor as a first-time director. It can be done, of course. Like, there's tons of movies with first-time directors that, you know, for whatever reason, the thing really comes about. A lot of the time, though, that's from, like, people who are great with short films. So one thing that I was thinking of just yesterday, because I just watched Sophie Jones, fantastic film. And that's the first film from Jesse Barr. And Jesse Barr is directing her own cousin, Jessica Barr, in that film. Both of them are like very like inexperienced in terms of like directing feature films. But I think probably the difference there is that Jesse Barr had experience with like short films and kind of started there. Whereas with Eddie Huang, I can just sort of tell that like there's like this awkwardness. There's this like lack of confidence in some of the film, even though I think the screenplay is really strong. I think there's great ideas there. It just needed tweaking. It needed like a really talented, experienced, maybe veteran director to come in and kind of help Huang really massage this into something much, much better. I do want to bring up one review from a friend of the show, Ingu King. I always wanted to have Ingu on the show, and I met her because she's San Francisco based, and she wrote a great review of it. She was much more positive on the film, closer to Corey on this one. So I want to bring it up. And, you know, she of course is coming from more of an Asian American perspective. None of us are Asian or Asian American. So I thought it'd be probably good to like bring up kind of what some people from that community are saying. For Ingu in particular, this is from her review. She said, "It's occasionally hard to understand the slang-heavy, sometimes muttered dialogue, which ends up adding to Boogie's sense of authenticity. Ever talk to teenagers?" She says in parentheses, "Takahashi is riveting in some scenes and lacking in others, and it's not always clear whether a blankness in his eyes is part of the character's flirtations with emotional nihilism or the actor's inexperience showing through. The film also would have benefited from more development in the parental characters, whose dysfunctions aren't as interesting as their efforts to manage them. But Boogie's got personal vision and swaggering flair to spare. Huang wouldn't have it any other way." So even though she had criticism of the film, she came away from it being like, this is really worthwhile. This is really worth seeing in spite of all that stuff. But, you know, in light of that, Corey, what do you think of like that sort of take on it?
You know, it's interesting. I kind of had a different reaction than you on looking at Huang's strengths and weaknesses. I actually kind of liked his direction More than I did his screenwriting, because I thought his dialogue writing was a bit blocky. But I think when you kind of look at the way that he kind of builds his style, he reminds me a little bit of Steven Soderbergh. And I've seen so many Soderbergh copycats go for that just kind of like cut and dry style of filmmaking. But I actually kind of liked the way that he had, I thought his directing had a lot of confidence. And I think it's the screenwriting where he wasn't exactly sure at times how like to not oversay his theme with his dialogue. Like sometimes I think he says the quiet part loudly, with the way that his characters just kind of very openly say, this is what we're dealing with, this is what's going on, this is what I'm feeling. And I don't know, I like the fact that he just directs with so much flourish. And I don't think the film is perfect at all, and I think it definitely has some struggles at times marrying all these different type of stories, but I think mostly that it does a really nice job of trying to just tell the story pretty matter-of-factly and without a lot of kind of a lot of confusion with what it wants its general goal to be.
Sure. Yeah. Let me clarify, because you bring up something that's very important. I should have clarified. When I'm praising the screenplay, I totally agree with you, Corey, that it's not the dialogue I'm praising at all. That's the stuff that I think could have been massaged much better through a director. For me, what really works about the screenplay is kind of the stuff you've talked about, which is the commentary on the generational tensions between being Asian and being Asian American, and how Boogie has this like identity crisis for like, do I follow my family's traditions or do I try to achieve my own expectations, my own ambitions as an American? And I think a lot of that does come through. That's clearly really in this screenplay. There's a lot of ideas here. He has this whole monologue at one point where he's explaining to a character that like in America, like if you're Asian or Asian American, you get reduced to beef and broccoli, he calls it. He's trying to describe through metaphor, like how people just sort of like pigeonhole Asians into like a certain type of, you can do this, but you can't do that. And when the film is getting into that territory, I think, man, this is strong stuff. This is good material. I just wish it had been brought through a stronger story. So that's more of what I'm referring to, even though I do agree, there's clunky dialogue here. And I think that it's not always delivered very impressively, particularly with Taylor Page, who I think is kind of weirdly, like whenever she has her moments of like explaining herself or being more of like a multidimensional character, it's just really hard to like kind of like what Will was saying, see how that's organic to the story. It kind of feels kind of pushed into the story instead. But what do you think, Will, of what we've been saying?
I guess I'm closer ultimately to you, John, in that I think, like you were saying, like the ideas here are what count. And I think that's what really intrigues me. And I think that's where the movie stands out, or where I'm willing to give it more credit, because even though it doesn't fully communicate those ideas effectively, when it does, I think it works pretty well. The scene you're talking about in particular stands out to me because we just had this whole thing on Twitter with, I haven't watched the show, but Ginny and Georgia, there's a scene that's been going around, like kind of gone viral because like of how it does something in a similar vein, but much worse in a much more cringy way, and in a way that feels inauthentic. And I think this movie does it in a way that's a little bit more organic, or at least a little bit more open and reflective, in a way that doesn't feel like it's like pandering or being like extra cringy about it. I think that's a scene in the film that stands out. And like I said, that's a moment where I think the movie gives itself some time to breathe and kind of calm down and actually have a conversation. And I think that's where the movie really thrives. Similarly, I think there's the core scene with his dad and with Boogie, where he is watching like an old sports video and they're just like reflecting back on like, Asian representation in sports. And that's also a scene where I'm like, okay, like if this is more like what the movie was going for, if it gave itself like a little bit time to like kind of calm down and be in its own world and just kind of reflect on things, I think that would have been to Eddie Huang's benefit. But like I was saying before, I think he's just so busy. Like I think he overworks himself, like trying to do so many things at once, that the narrative just kind of gets flustered. And that, like you say, it feels not super confident in terms of delivering all of these at the same time, to the point where, even though this is only like 80, 90 minutes long, it does kind of feel like it's longer than that, because it's just trying to do so much at once. And so that's where I think it's ultimately frustrating, is just because like it has a lot of good stuff going for it. I think when it works, it does show that Eddie Huang could be a pretty dynamic filmmaker, but I just think he kind of gets ahead of himself too much, and that's a shame.
What's your final grade then, Will?
I give it a low C+, I guess. Like I said, I think the stuff that works is interesting. I think there's enough here that in retrospect I value, and I think the performances stand up pretty well, even though I do agree the lead actor, you know, he can kind of tell his inexperience in some of his dialogue delivery. But as a coming of age film, I think, you know, definitely like what Corey was saying, I think it offers some valuable perspective. Some of the stuff with the Catcher in the Rye stuff was a little clunky as well. I think that was a little bit overdone. Like, you know, it was kind of forcing itself too much into the dialogue in a way that felt inauthentic. But
hey, at least it was better than Moxie's like literary scene in a classroom.
Yeah. there are some odd similarities between Moxie and this film, but we'll have to talk about that when we talk about Moxie. But yeah, I mean, for me, yeah, like I said, high C+. It has stuff going for it. I think what
I
value
low C+.
Low C+. Yeah, you're right. I was between a low C+ and a high C. So I guess my brain put the two together. So yeah, low C+.
Need to hydrate with some high C apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'm like just a regular old C+. I think, you know, for the most part, like for most of this movie, I was more in B- territory. I was like, yeah, okay, this is rough around the edges, but I like what it's going for. I like the ideas, as I've talked about. For me, I think where this thing really falls apart is the third act. When we get to the climactic moments, I think that there's this ultimatum thing involving the manager. It's really like the drama feels really manufactured at that point. And I just do not think this thing lands at the very end. It just feels like we get to the point where I think the movie is setting up that it's all on Boogie. The team is relying on him. His family is relying on him. And I think it gets to a point where he needs to make the decision. He needs to do something that, you know, is him sort of like a self-actualization kind of moment. But then something happens with his manager that just robs him of that. And it just gets super distilled down to, you know, him being forced to do something. And I just found it like the movie was sort of cheating his agency a little bit. You know, it is the kind of thing where I guess somebody could be like, well, you know, that's not, you know, maybe that's real life. Maybe that's kind of like what the point, I don't know, but I think that it doesn't feel like what it's setting up towards. So I just think that it really lags toward the end for that reason. It feels like the rest of the film after that is just fluff of like, I just didn't care. You know, in my review, I said, it's like watching the last 5 minutes of a basketball game that, you know, we all know who's going to win at like halftime, you know, and I just felt like just wrap it up at this point. So I'm a C+ on it. It's a disappointing C+, just in the sense that I think it's, you know, I do think there's a lot here that's very, very intriguing. And, you know, I want to see a better version of this film. But I just don't think it totally works. And I'll definitely link to Ingu Kane's review so people can check that out as well, just so that they have a more balanced perspective, since we're kind of coming at this from, you know, obviously not a direct experience. But what about you, Corey Woodruff? We'll give you the last word on Boogie.
I think I would give Boogie a B for Boogie. A little Sesame Street there for you. But no, I think it's a solid film. I think it's an interesting debut for Hwang. I think that I like the confidence he has in the story. I like the way he kind of develops the characters. I do agree that at times I think the film tries to, you know, be too many things at once. And I do think that while I really liked some of the context of the basketball stuff, it is a little predictable. You do know how it's going to go. But then again, is that predictability a strength? I mean, does that kind of undercut the theme, perhaps, that there is just so much that's out of Boogie's control that we do see it coming, but maybe that's kind of the point. So I liked it. It's not a film that I think is without its flaws, but I would definitely recommend it if you were interested in checking it out.
All right. Well, if you do want to check it out, it is going to be in theaters now, and it's available through Focus Features. The film is not very long. It's just 89 minutes. And if you like the film or do not like the film, let us know on cinemahawks.com. Hit up the comments section and tell us what you think of Boogie. Thank you so much for listening to our show. Be sure to subscribe to Cinemaholics on your favorite podcast app of choice, or find us on YouTube. See you all next time.